Hello, and welcome back to my Y2K diary, 4:15pm. Okay, I've done most of my packing, and Mum and Dad have briefed me yet again on how to get on a plane. Kai and I have flown alone a couple of times before, but we went as unaccompanied minors, where there are airport staff who show you where to go. This is the first time I'm flying completely alone. No staff, no brother, no parents. Mum and Dad were very sceptical and thought I should be an unaccompanied minor again, but the last time I did that, they made me wear this hideous high-vis jacket. I can't arrive in France in a high-vis jacket, for God's sake. It would be like Donatella Versace showing up to Paris Fashion Week in a bin bag. Out of the question. Honestly, would it have killed my parents to have produced a sister that I could borrow clothes off? Dimanche, le 26 juillet, le camping, 19h45. That's how the French do date/time formatting, just FYI. Well, I've made it, and the first day has gone off to a good start. Well, except for when I almost got on the wrong plane. I flew from Southampton at the crack of dawn this morning, and if you're not familiar with Southampton Airport, it's absolutely tiny. It's basically just one room. I queued up at the gate, but then the gate was just a door that led straight out onto the tarmac. I saw some people getting on a bus and some people getting on a plane, and I thought, well, I'm here to get on a plane. So I went with the latter, only to sit down and hear, "Welcome aboard this Flybe flight to Bordeaux. Ecorama." I leapt out of my seat and a kind member of staff showed me the right way to go. Turns out that bus would have taken me to the correct plane. I mean, Lord, am I psychic? I had to ride on one of those buggy things with a man who introduced himself as Big Matt, not his legal name, one assumes, who kept saying, "You just gotta make sure you know where you're going, innit?" Well, quite. Anyway, once Matthew had dropped me off at the correct place, the flight itself was fine. It breezed by in an hour of naps and crosswords. Nat and Leonie came to pick me up from the airport. They gave me the biggest hug, that familiar smell of essential oils and tobacco immediately enveloping me. Nat's latest business venture, there's always something new every time I see her, is designing jewellery, so her big van is stacked to the brim with boxes of various strings and beads. Leonie clambered into the back, expertly dodging all the paraphernalia and finding a nook to sit in, and let me take the passenger seat. Nat lit a cigarette and hung it out of the open window before turning down the radio to give me the debrief. She both amazes and terrifies me in equal measure.
"So this holiday, we stay with my best friend, Karine, her husband, Christophe, their teenage boys, Nicolas and Maxime, and my lover, Eric."
"Got it," I said, silently noting how her use of the word lover would be beyond cringe in the UK, but because she's French, it just sounded incredibly romantic.
"Nicolas and Maxime are cool," said Leonie. "They're a few years older than us, but they're really nice. Everyone is so excited to meet you."
To be honest, I had no idea who else would actually be at this campsite. I and my parents just knew it'd be Leonie, her mum, and some friends of theirs. But they're a nice little group. Nat and Eric have been together a couple of years now, and Leonie seems to approve of him. Much like Nat, he also lives a bit of a nomadic/hippie lifestyle, just going with whatever plan she has next. When we arrived at the campsite, Christophe announced that they had been preparing a théâtre for my arrival. It was basically like a French version of a pantomime, but without the stage, costumes, lighting, or really much of a script. It was absolutely hilarious, though. I could only really catch half of the story, but it was something about the princess, played by Karine, being in love with a toxico man, I assume some sort of wayward alcohol/drug user, played by Eric. But her sons, played by her actual sons, showing her she should really be with the handsome prince, played by Christophe. It was absolutely bizarre, and I'm not sure what the moral of the story was, be handsome and sober, but it was such a laugh. The teenage boys then burst into this dance routine, some random techno track, which is apparently very popular in France at the moment, which was met with rapturous applause from the rest of us. Once all the entertainment was over, we had some spaghetti that Karine had cooked, and we discussed the differences between French and English education. There is a bit of a language barrier, but Leonie's been really good at translating and filling in the gaps. I must say, it feels like a breath of fresh air to be with all these cool, free-spirited types. Fleet feels a million miles away. Is this how everyone felt at Woodstock? Monday, 27th of July, the tent, 5:32pm. This morning, Maxime informed me that we were off to do the shower of the plates. He meant washing up, but it worked. Leonie and I went over with him to the little communal kitchen area that we share with all the other campers. He was really nice, including me in the conversation as much as possible. From what I could gather, Maxime is about 15 and Nicolas is about 17. Maxime is definitely the more sensitive one, and Nicolas seems more like a party boy. In the afternoon, we went to the local market. It's on every day in the summer season. I bought a bracelet and this really cute notebook for when this one runs out. I tell you what, they don't have to take back to school seriously over here. Dad once told me that he gets the sweats whenever he sees the back to school or la rentrée aisle in the French supermarkets. Gives him PTSD from his childhood, apparently. The stress of having all your stationery sorted is clearly a timeless tradition in France. That and protesting things. Karine picked up some more ingredients for dinner tonight. Some sort of casserole. As a bit of a picky eater, I'm a bit nervy about it, to be honest. And Nicolas bought a shisha pipe. And his mum didn't even bat an eyelid. It's a different world here, I tell you. 10:47 p.m. Okay, the casserole was actually fine. I just took a small portion and mopped most of it up with bread. The adults and Nicola are all still out there drinking wine and smoking, but Leonie and I have retired to our tent. She's got to read this massive book over the summer for school. It sounds dead boring and depressing. Kai had to do that the summer before he went into year 11. He spent 2 months moaning about how he had to read To Kill a Mockingbird and that he was just going to watch the film instead. Tuesday, 28th of July, 11:38 p.m. Oh, lordy lorks, today has been a bit more dramatique. It was really sunny today, the hottest it's been for a while apparently, so we all headed to the beach. We were having a grand old time, Nicola even brought his speakers, and us teenagers were blasting that new song that goes, I fly like paper, get high like planes, and dancing around. The adults didn't even care or tell us to be quiet. In fact, Nat was singing along too. Why can't parents be like this in England? Around 7 o'clock, we started packing up and heading back to the campsite. I could see Nicola and Maxine whispering about something, so I sent Leonie over to go and inquire slash translate. She beckoned me over. There's a nightclub over there that backs onto the beach. The boys want to check it out tonight. What? Surely we won't get in. Leonie shrugged. Worth a try, I guess. My heart started pounding. A nightclub? I've only just had my first foray into Snap, let alone an actual adult club. But the prospect also seemed very exciting, and I was desperate to avoid looking like a loser in front of the boys. We headed back to the campsite for dinner, leftover casserole, which I forced down, and then told the adults we were going to the youth centre for a bit. The campsite has this tragic youth centre with a pool table that's falling apart and a few board games. Whoever designed it has clearly never met a youth in their life. What if one of them comes out to check on us? I asked. The boys laughed. They'll be drinking wine and talking all night, said Maxime, and to be fair, he had a point. I couldn't see any of them actually bothering to stop their fun to come and check on us. We're old enough to look after ourselves, and Nicola is basically an adult. I then had a panic about what to wear. I mean, what does one wear to an actual nightclub? I should have brought my Snap outfit with me. Leonie laughed and said she wasn't even going to bother getting changed. Easily done when you look amazing in anything that makes contact with you. That girl could wear a Tesco carrier bag and it'd be haute couture. I decided not to get changed either, my reasoning being that it would be better to look like I hadn't tried than to look like I had tried but still look terrible. Leonie did recommend I stuff my bra though, just for good measure. Of course, I'm well versed in the art form now and showed her what I learned from Shannon. Lifting, not cupping. Bra stuffed, I threw a hoodie over the top so the adults wouldn't see and we scampered out. Once I took my hoodie off, the boys fell about laughing. Is it really that obvious? I said, my cheeks flushing red. It is to us, because we already know. But the bouncer won't know it's fake, Leonie reassured me. She gave a look to the boys and said something in French, which I can only assume was to chastise them for laughing at me. When we arrived at the club, there was a queue to get in. Nicola immediately started chatting up a girl that was stood in front of us, and he sailed in with her, no problem. But the bouncer stuck his arm out in front of Maxime and eyed the three of us up. Maxime protested, saying that we were with the others in front, but the bouncer was having none of it. What's he saying? I whispered to Leonie. He's asking for our papers, she whispered back. Papers? Was this border control? I then realised that she must mean ID, and here I was thinking France was so chilled out about IDing people. Leonie regularly buys cigarettes for her mother for crying out loud, but I suppose they can tell when someone's clearly underage. When it became apparent that Nicola definitely wasn't coming back for us, we traipsed back to the campsite, forlorn. As we passed through the entrance gates, the security guard stood up from his booth. Leonie groaned. What's wrong? We call him Security Man. He's so annoying. He thinks he's our friend. Security Man looked like one of those rather more depressing genres of man, one in his early 20s but definitely still lived with his mum and was desperately trying to compensate for it. He swaggered over to us and began chatting. Once he realised I wasn't fluent in French, he directed most of his attention to Leonie until she told him I was English. Ah, we have a little roast beef with us, he said to me. I beg your pardon? Roast beef is what we call the English, Leonie explained. You know, like roast beef. I was about to kick off this blatant xenophobia, but then remembered that we call them frogs for eating frog's legs, so it does sort of even out. I was just telling your cousin here that you should come back to my place later for a little soiree. Yes, but I was saying we need to get back to the tent for my mum's birthday party, remember? Leonie said, giving me a look. Oh, yes, no can do, I'm afraid. It's her mum's birthday. He eyed us up and down in a way that can only be described as pervy before retreating back to his booth. God, he's so creepy, said Leonie as soon as we were out of earshot. One time he tell me that he has a mansion in Saint-Tropez and his girlfriend is a supermodel. Maxime laughed. Does he think we're stupid? I said, laughing along with them. Somehow, though, I don't think this is the last we've seen of Security Man. Saturday, 1st of August, the tent, 5:23 p.m. Sorry, I haven't written in ages. It's been a busy few days. Today has really taken a turn, though. On Thursday, the boys took us out on jet skis. I was a bit nervous, as I'd never really done anything like that before, and I'm hardly a thrill seeker. Nicola was complaining about being hungover in the morning, but by the time we hit the waves, he was a good sport and was actually very encouraging and kind to me. God, he's actually so fit. He makes Nico look like a worm. Okay, maybe not a worm, that's mean, but maybe like a sort of sad rabbit. Anyway, I got to sit on the back of Nikolai's jet ski. At first, I was hanging onto the edge of the jet ski as I felt too awkward to make physical contact with him. I ended up being flung off the side at high speed and my fingers gave in from the painful gripping. He told me to hold on to him around the middle, and after that, I had a whale of a time. I felt much more comfortable and secure, and was actually really enjoying the high speeds. I felt like a Bond girl, only ginger and flat-chested. Yesterday, it all came to a head with security man. We went to the supermarket, and on the way back in, he kept trying to inspect our bags, and was asking Leonie if she shaves her special area. Grim! Then in the afternoon, we went to chill by the pool, and he actually approached us at our sunbeds. Nat got involved at that point and told him to piss off. It was brilliant. She was waving her cigarette about and pointing it in his face, calling him a fils de pute. Today, though, disaster has struck. I managed to find a computer in the youth centre so I could check my emails, and I had one from Maisie. Hey, Teagues. Hope you're having an amazing time in France. The weather is crap here. It's so grey and miserable. I bet it's well nice where you are. So jealous, XD. Not much to report on here. Nikita's still chatting to that buckaroo Bryce. You know she's going to see him at the end of the month. Her parents booked Disney again as a surprise for her brother's birthday. She's absolutely buzzing because Bryce has convinced his parents to spend a weekend there. It's all very exciting for her. Also, Danielle said her mum won £5,000 on a scratch card. She said they all went to the pub last night to celebrate and her mum let her have a drink with her and Gary. Obviously it's Danielle, so don't know how much to believe, but pretty cool if true. The other thing I wanted to tell you was, and please don't freak out, I saw Nico in town yesterday with Liberty. They were with Scott and Liberty's cousin, Abby May. It might not mean anything, though. He defo didn't look that happy with her. She had caked her makeup on, too. It looked well trashy. Anyway, hurry up and come home. We miss you. Kiss, 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 kiss. My stomach dropped. So Nico and Scott went on a nice double date with Liberty and her cousin. Did our time in the McDonald's play area mean nothing to him? That's it. I'm old news. It's over. Sunday, 2nd of August, the tent, 9:34 p.m. Definitely starting to feel homesick now. I can't keep up with half the conversations, and I always feel like I'm saying the wrong thing. I just want to see my friends and find out what's going on with Nico. I miss Mum and Dad, and even Kai, but especially Nico. Today I saw a loved up couple walking along the beach, and I was reminded of that song that Madame Smith taught us in French by Françoise Hardy. Tous les garçons et les filles de mon âge. It's basically about someone watching all the other people her age, walking around hand in hand, happy and in love, whereas she's on her own. I know exactly how poor Françoise feels now. Everyone will be at Scott's party right now. I wonder if Nico's kissing Liberty, the charlatan. Monday, 3rd of August, the tent, 8:43 p.m. Today was actually a good day and did take my mind off things for a little while. We went to this treetop adventure place, which is sort of like Go Ape. I was actually quite good at it. The harness did give me quite a bad wedgie though. I mean, who designed those things? An American cartoon bully? When we got back, I phoned Mum and Dad to check in. They were positively jubilant because Kai got his A-level results, ABBA. Mum, of course, made him a card with a drawing of ABBA on the front. And on top of that, he got accepted into King's College London to do film studies. I am pleased for him, and very pleased that he'll be leaving home, but I'm also so incredibly jealous. Speaking to Mum and Dad also just made me more homesick. I really do miss them, but by the sounds of it, they couldn't give a rat's arse about their only daughter. I mean, honestly, I haven't spoken to them in over a week. I could have been kidnapped by Somali pirates for all they know. But no, they're so busy fawning over Kai's stellar education to give me a second thought. Tempted to ring Esther Ransom when I get back to the UK, just to give them a bit of a shake-up. Wednesday, 4th of August, the tent, 9:12 p.m. 4 days to go. Thursday, 4th of August, the tent, 10:23 p.m. 3 days to go. Friday, 5th of August, the tent, 9:47 p.m. Only 2 days to go. Saturday, 6th of August, the tent, 6:38 p.m. Tomorrow, I am out of here. I shouldn't complain, as everyone has been really nice. I just can't help but feel like an outsider, and it's not their fault that they all have in-jokes and they all get the same cultural references that I don't. Plus, there's so much going on back home that's eating me up inside. I can't stop thinking about Nico and Liberty in town together. I mean, did he take her to the McDonald's play area? Did he buy her a McFlurry? Was it the Smarties one? The mind reels. 2 weeks was definitely too long. Saturday, 7th of August, the attic at Marlow Towers, 9:13 p.m. Home sweet home. As my plane started descending over Southampton, I couldn't help but hum the words to Jerusalem to myself. England's land is indeed green and pleasant. I've never felt so happy to see it in my life. Is this patriotism? Mum and Dad met me at the airport and drove me home, asking me all about the trip. Now they're interested. I told them it was all fine and recounted a few tales of jet skis and Go Ape. They seemed satisfied. When we got back, we went to the pub to celebrate Kai's results. I have never been so happy to have scampi and chips. Of course, the night was mostly dominated by talk of his university plans, what sort of things they need to buy from IKEA, applying student halls, etc, etc. But then, he dropped a bit of a bombshell. I'm actually thinking of deferring by a year, he said casually as he took a bite of his burger. What? Why? Said Dad, looking aghast. Me and Gaz have been talking about going travelling, you know, taking a gap year. It's fine, I can still go when I come back. Oh, how exciting, said Mum. But you can definitely still go to King's when you get back, said Dad, not even trying to hide the concern in his voice. Of course, they let you defer by a year if you want to. Loads of people do it. Where are you going to go? I asked. Dunno, maybe Nepal. Apparently you can get work teaching English to kids. I'd love to trek the Himalayas. You know, you should really go and see Dad's cousins in Australia, said Mum, while you're over there. While you're over there, said Dad. Pokhara to Perth isn't exactly like popping down the M1. No, I think I would like to go to Australia, actually. You can get a work permit if you're under 30. I'm so jealous, I whined. You just got back from 2 weeks in France, said Mum. Yeah, but that's not the same. Well, let's have a look at it a bit more next week, said Dad. Let's not make any rash decisions just yet. Kai shrugged again, finishing his burger and wiping his hands on his napkin. And this Gaz fellow, Dad continued, is he a man of good standing? Monday, 8th of August, Starbucks, 2:39 PM. Met up with the girls to have a post-holiday catch-up, but mainly to grill Maisie about every tiny detail of what she saw Ray, Nico and Liberty. Starbucks is usually the go-to place for us. When it first opened in Fleet last year, we were beside ourselves. We could finally feel like the girls off the hills. Honestly, for about a week, I felt like I was living in West Hollywood. The novelty has slightly worn off now, but the strawberry frappuccinos are still delish. Outside the front door, they had a chalkboard sign on the pavement saying Frappuccino Happy Hour. I felt physically affronted by it. Which moron decided to call it that and not Frappy Hour? Their marketing team should all be sacked pronto. I made a mental note to email their head office as soon as I was home. Maisie was, unfortunately, no use at all to me. I'm sorry, Teagues, but I only saw them for a second. Mum was driving me to the dentist and I caught a glimpse through the car window. They definitely weren't holding hands or anything, though, if that makes you feel better. It hasn't. And nobody has any intel on Scott's party? Everybody shook their head. Nikita, when are you off to Florida? Asked Louise. I can't believe you're going back again. I'm beyond jealous, said Sarah. On the 20th, I'm so excited to see him. I've told my parents he's a girl, obvs, and I'll try to sneak off and see him as much as possible. His hotel is quite close to ours, so I reckon it'll be easy. And Danielle, do you reckon you'll be going anywhere, now that your mum's quid's in? Asked Sarah. Yeah, she was saying last night you might go to Mallorca. Or we might go on a shopping spree with it. Not sure yet. Knowing my luck, Gary will probably nick it all to spend on fags. There's still an item, I asked. Yep, she said, slurping her straw. What's the issue with him anyway, said Sarah. He's a drunk and a dickhead. I just get a bad feeling about him, said Danielle. She started stirring the remnants of her frappuccino vigorously with her straw, and I could tell she didn't want to go into any more detail on the matter. I changed the subject by regaling them all with tales from across the channel, and they all oohed and aahed in the right places. Sarah was laughing about how I spent 2 weeks in France and have come back exactly the same colour. Have decided I will go home and try to figure out how to use fake tan. If I bump into Nico in town again, I want him to see me with a bronzed glow and know that I've been away doing sophisticated, continental things. I think Mum has some in the cupboard. The attic at Marlow Towers, 7:34 PM. Oh, holy Lord Jesus and all 12 of his disciples. Went rummaging about the bathroom cabinet and found some of Mum's Saint-Tropez. She's not really the fake tan type, but she has been known to do a light coating of it when she's going on holiday to avoid looking like a panna cotta. Anyway, I decided to give it a go, following the instructions carefully, making sure it was all rubbed in. The instructions mentioned something about using a tanning mitt, but I couldn't see one in the cupboard, so I just used my hands. Surely a hand can achieve just the same results sans or avec mitt. Anyway, it didn't matter either way, because I'm now a ravishing shade of green. Green. I look like a distant relative of Shrek, or perhaps Courgette. It's absolutely dire. It's only really started developing in the last hour or so, and I'm too scared to leave my room. I've checked the bottle, and it turns out it expired in 1999. Why on earth was it still in the cupboard? Mum's hoarder ways have come to bite me in the arse, I see. Well, all over my poor green body, actually. Oh, God, dinner's ready. There's no way out of this now. 9:14 PM. Mum was fuming. Said I'm far too young to be wearing fake tan anyway, and that I should have checked with her first. She told me to take a long shower and scrub as much as possible, which I did as soon as I'd finished. Currently laid on my bed, praying to God, Allah, Moses, Carol Vorderman, and the entire cast of Holby City that this rectifies itself ASAP.